So this might seem like a obvious kind of thing to say, but to be a human being is to be an embodied creature. We aren't just sort of spirits that happen to be inhabiting a kind of a fleshly earth suit. We're not just brains, even minds that walk around operating the rest of our body like a robot. We are these kind of integrated beings, and yet we have this kind of complicated and strange relationship with our own bodies at times. In the Christian tradition, there's been a tendency to see the body through quite negative terms, right? To see maybe the flesh or desire or our emotions or our physicality or our sexuality through this kind of suspicious or even negative lens, at least in some streams of the church. Spirituality in this light can be set up as a kind of a battle or a war between the body and the spirit, where we're trying to use and utilize and employ our spirituality and our faith to really control or suppress or deny our own embodiment in some sort of attempt to transcend it and become spiritual. We've moved away in lots of senses from embodied practices as lying at the heart of our faith and toward reciting of beliefs as being the most important thing. But kind of within all of this kind of negativity around the body, there's this lack of recognition as to how our bodies, our emotions, our desires, our passions actually shape the directions of our lives all of the time, often as much, if not more than, like our conscious intellectual beliefs. So if we think we should be able to sort of control the body, either with our mind or with our faith or with our spirit man, which is something I heard a bit in my earlier years, you know, in reality, that actually turns out to be very difficult, if not impossible, because we are unavoidably embodied creatures. And so our bodies are constantly a part of how we experience the world, giving rise to intuition and sense and decision making and feeling in all sorts of ways. So we can have this kind of complicated relationship there, right? And what I want to do in this fifth reflection in our holiness series is just to briefly reflect on what an embodied and holy spirituality might look like if we were able to come at this with a more integrated perspective. If we look at the sacred text of Christian faith, right, we look at the biblical story, we find that the various authors there tend to view humanness not as these split creatures who have these kind of floaty spirits inside a meaningless fleshly body, but to talk about humans and humanness in these really holistic and integrated ways. When they use terms like spirit and soul and body, heart, strength, mind, they often use it as a way of talking about our whole selves, not as a way of sort of trying to divvy us up and figure out, oh yeah, the spirit or the heart, that's the real bit, and then the other bits are less real, or that's the most important bit and this bit should rule over this other bit. It's not really the way the biblical authors speak about what it is to be human. And if we can kind of grasp that to be human is about this integrated, embodied reality, then our spirituality can actually become about integrating and cultivating a kind of wholeness and holiness there, rather than seeing the body through this kind of negative light and trying to control or suppress it. And so maybe we become open to the kinds of things our bodies might be telling us, the kind of things our feelings might be wanting to offer us, the messages that our bodies are telling us to slow down or that you're experiencing something painful, or that you are feeling something that you need to pay attention to, or that you're afraid, or, you know, whatever it is that our bodies might be telling us, these can actually become, this is vital and integral to what it is to be human, and therefore should be vital and integral to our spirituality. Our spiritual practices, I think, at their best kind of help us with this, you know, like song, prayer, meditation, Eucharist, gathering, service to others. These aren't practices that are designed to sort of take us out of ourselves in some kind of transcendent experience to some God out there in the universe, but actually to help us integrate, to find the presence of the divine in and through our whole embodied lives. Now, do we have to work through then challenges and difficult emotions and complicated relationships with our own bodies and all of that kind of stuff? Yeah, of course. But this is not about trying to bring my body and soul under control or into submission. It's about learning how to acknowledge what's going on for me and moving toward how to flourish as an embodied human being, and how to cultivate meaning and virtue and beauty and goodness, and what it is to be grateful for my own embodiment, to love myself and to love my neighbor and to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all that I am. And if we can do this, then maybe our spiritual life isn't just about kind of quote unquote spiritual exercises that are in some way separate or divided from the rest of our day-to-day integrated embodied lives. It's not just about church meetings even. It helps us overcome this kind of split that we tend to form in our lives between spiritual things and non-spiritual things, and to actually see that our whole lives matter and that we can pay attention and live with gratitude and forge really healthy relationships with our own embodiment as an integral part of our spirituality. I want to finish today with a reflective exercise to offer you. And this comes from, sort of based this on a few questions at the end of Dr. Hilary McBride's book, Practices for Embodied Living. And it's a wonderful book, and if you're wanting to wrestle with not just the ideas of embodiment, but the actual practices of it, then this is a really good book to dive into. There are loads of practices around embodiment that she offers here. She finishes with a few questions, and I sort of want to offer a version of those to you today as a prompt for you to do some reflection. So it might be that you want to sit down with a journal, paper and pen, or however you best process this. I'm going to put these questions up on our website, The Good Stuff at Edge Kingsland, as well, so that you can find it there. So get yourself a moment, and then there's five things I want you to reflect on. The first is to just say, how would you describe your relationship with your body? So maybe you might want to start the sentence with, my relationship with my body is like, and then finish it. The second is, I'm grateful my body can do what? Right. What are you grateful that your body can do? This question has been, in its own way, a kind of game changer for me in my relationship with my own embodiment, because I've come, as I've dwelt on that question, to recognize just how extraordinary it is to be alive moment to moment, and what it is that my body carries me through and holds me through and offers me and invites me to experience and just does for me second by second, hour by hour. So how would I describe my relationship with my body? What am I grateful my body can do and be? What is possible when my mind and body are friends? It's another question. So when my mind and body are friends, then what? What is possible? The fourth question, right now, what can I feel? And that's kind of a question you can sit with at all sorts of different times in the day. It might be after good experiences or hard experiences, or just in the everyday kind of rhythms of life. Just pause and take a moment and go, can I feel right now? Just tune into that. And then the last question, the fifth question is, what kind of nurturance does your body need and deserve at the moment? What could you do? What could you say? What could you contemplate that would offer nurturance to your own body, the nurturance that your body needs and deserves in the world? So those are five questions. As I say, I'll put them up online, and I hope they're helpful.